As we start our study in looking at 1 John, I want you to think with me just a little bit about how we know about God and how we know about the Lord Jesus Christ. If I were to ask you, where do you turn in the Bible to learn about Jesus? Most of us think, well, we turn to one of the Gospels, especially the Gospel of John, we'll be using quite a bit for our study, is comparing the epistle or the letter of 1 John over to the Gospel. But in the Gospel of John, if you remember, at the very end of the book, chapter 20, John says, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. So the Gospel is written that we can believe in Jesus. But as we looked last week, the epistle or the letter of 1 John is written for a different reason. It's written to those who already believe that you may know that you have eternal life. And there's one other thing that goes through, if you go through 1 John, if you've noticed, we've already sung quite a bit about love this morning. When we talk about God is love, that verse is found in 1 John. There's another verse we'll be considering this morning, and that is God is light. John tells us more about God the Father than probably anywhere else we find in Scriptures. If we turn to the Gospels to learn about Jesus, our Lord, we can turn to the letter of 1 John to find out about the Father himself, about God. And that's revealed quite a bit in this that we have this morning in 1 John. If you turn with me over to 1 John, look at verse 5 again from our scripture reading. He said, this is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light. In him is no darkness at all. Now this goes back to what he began really with this last week. This is the message that came. From whom? From him, that is from Jesus. In other words, what John's going to tell us is this is a message from Christ about the God, about our salvation. This is the message. Now we can learn a lot about God from looking at the creation. If you go back to the Psalms and in Romans, Paul tells us, when you look at the creation, you can tell the eternal nature of God is his majesty and his glory. We can determine that from the creation. But we don't really learn much about God himself. In the creation, you can see that God is powerful. You can see that he's glorious. I think you even can see that he loves us by the way that he's created everything for us. But we don't really learn anything about God himself from seeing the creation. I mean, in our country, Thomas Jefferson and many others have sort of a deist view of God. That is, that God created everything, but then he sort of steps back and he just let everything run its course. That's sort of the deism or deist view. But that's not the God that we read about in 1 John. The God that we read about in 1 John is a personal God. He's a God that wants to be close to us. As we looked last week, and we're going to continue this week, he wants to have fellowship. He wants to be your friend. And the very idea that God wants to be your friend is a very personal idea, very, very close. It's almost scary kind of an idea that God wants to be your friend. And it goes with our Sunday school lesson this morning that God loves us. As I said, we'll take a look at that as we get on into 1 John. That God loves us, but he wants to have fellowship with us. And one of the ideas, one of the themes that runs throughout the book of 1 John is this idea of fellowship with God and with one another, and the importance of that. Here in this first verse, God is light. What do you think of when you see the verse? God is light, and him is no darkness at all. Throughout Scriptures, light goes directly with life. In fact, on this planet, you don't have much life if you don't have light. Life comes from light. If you look over to the Gospel of John, there's a number of passages that almost equate light and life. In the very beginning, in chapter 1, verse 4, it says, in him, that is, in Jesus, was life, and the life was the light of men, that from Christ. Now, look over to chapter 8. And in chapter 8 and verse 20, verse 12. And again Jesus spoke, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And again, the idea of life and light. Now look over to chapter 3 And we see the idea that is really very close to what John is presenting to us in the letter, in chapter 3, verse 20. He says, "For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his work should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen and his works have been carried out in God." The idea of light is to expose, is to bring out. And the idea that God is light, in him is no darkness at all. Now we know God is an all-powerful God, and you can see that in the creation. But the idea that there is no darkness, nothing in God is dark. And if we want to walk after God, we need to be the same way. Now the darkness he's talking about, if you walk after darkness, then you have no fellowship with him. Look at the next couple of verses that he presents to us in verse 6 and 7. "If we say we have fellowship with him," that is with God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, "and we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." Now, by walking in darkness, he's not talking about something that you did a year ago or 6 months ago or something else in your life that you just soon forget. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about something you did yesterday or last week that you're continuing to do today. He's talking about, do you have something in your life that you know is not the way it should be, but you're not doing anything about it? You're letting it stay in your life. You know that it's questionable. Maybe you say, maybe you've rationalized it and say, well, it's not all that bad, or other people do about the same kind of things, and they may. But you know that in your life, that's not right. And you're allowing it to stay in your life. That's what he's talking about when he's talking about walking in darkness. He's not talking about what you may have done 10 years ago, even last year. But what are you doing yesterday or last week or this week? What are you doing that you're allowing to stay in your life that you know shouldn't be there? That's walking in darkness. And he says, if you do that and you call yourself a Christian, you're lying. You're lying to God. You're lying to yourself. You're not a Christian. If you're a Christian, you don't allow something to stay in your life that you know shouldn't be there. And that's what he's talking about when he's talking about walking in darkness. Allowing those things to stay in our lives that we know shouldn't be there, or failing to do something that we know we should be doing. Either way, you're walking in darkness. Your life is not reflecting Christ the way that it should. And that's what he's talking. And he says, if you think you're a Christian and you're living that way, you're allowing this to stay in your life, you're just lying to yourself. You're deceiving yourself. This is not being a Christian. But notice what he says in verse 6 and 7. Go back to him. He says, if we say we have fellowship, and you notice how important fellowship is in this whole section. In verse 7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sins. The idea of fellowship with him and with one another. Throughout the scripture, throughout this book, the idea of fellowship with one another keeps coming up. In fact, when he talks about forgiveness of sins, he always links that to our fellowship one with another, not just with God. Too often we think about, well, I'm right with God, but I don't really need this church. Or I don't need, you know, I can be a good Christian at home. We live in a time where a lot of people want to be autonomous. They say, well, I can do it my own way. I mean, I can worship God at home, and I can have a good relationship to God at home. I don't need church. I don't need all this fellowship stuff with other Christians. If you go through the book of 1 John, you notice how often he links your forgiveness with fellowship, not just with God, but with one another. And that's what he talks about here. If you have fellowship one with another, you're forgiven of your sins, and he cleanses us. Let me relate to you a story I came on this week. This young lady, her name is Laura Atkins, she went around giving out an envelope. And in this envelope, there's a $20 bill and a little slip of paper. And the slip of paper tells you to spend this $20 bill on yourself before the end of the day. Just buy anything you want. If you want some candy, or you want a new DVD, or something else you've been thinking about buying but sort of put off, before the end of the day, spend this $20 on yourself. Then she went out and handed out some other envelopes, and these envelopes also had a $20 bill, but had another slip of paper. And this slip of paper said, spend this $20 on somebody else before the end of the day. Before the day ends, spend this $20 on just anybody you want, but got to be on somebody else. And then they interviewed all the people that she'd given these out. And what they found was, you think all those people, you know, don't we want things, and what's going to make us happier? To have that little thing that we thought that we wanted, a candy bar or a new DVD or a new belt or whatever it was? They found that the people that spent the money on somebody else were much happier at the end of the day than the people that spent it on themselves. In fact, they said there wasn't even any comparison. And they did this in Canada. They did it in South Africa. They did it in India. They did it across the world. They did this little experiment. And they showed that if you have fellowship, the idea of sharing, fellowship means to share with one another. And that's why it runs throughout this book of 1 John, this idea of sharing with one another and how important it is. And here they showed it was important to your own happiness. They went even further. They said, well, what about little children? You know, maybe it's because of the way we've been around and we've been taught. But little children, they hold on to toys. You know, you can't even take a toy away from them. You know, but so they gave little children gold. But the gold they gave them was little goldfish. The little cracker goldfish. The little kids, that's like gold. And they gave the little kids little cracker goldfish. And then They were real happy they got the little goldfish. But they introduced them to a new friend. The new friend was Monkey the Puppet. And they loved to give their little goldfish to the puppet. Even these little children loved to give away the other things. Now, when you hear this story, you think, well, what church did this? You know who did this study? Harvard Business College, or Harvard University did this college. It was in the Harvard Business Review in their business school. And this was reported, not in a Christian magazine, but in the New York Times paper. This is what life is all about. Not, of course, we know, Jesus tells us it's more blessed to give than receive. But this is true. And this is what brings life to us. When we learn to have fellowship and to share with one another, instead of having this me generation attitude. So much of today is this me. What's in it for me? Do I get anything out of it? And if I like to go to this church because I feel good about it, or it's all about me. And as soon as we start learning to have fellowship, to share, then we learn what life's really all about. And our life is fuller and happier. And we start really receiving the light that is the life that comes from Christ. Look at the next couple of sections with me in 1 John. Look at verses 8 and 9. Because here John brings out the idea of how can we live in the light. Have you ever thought about having your light, your life just laid bare before God? He can see everything that you've ever even thought, every thought that you've had, everything you ever did. How can we stand before God that way? Most of us think, well, you know, we're pretty good people. But have you thought about having your whole life laid bare before God? Listen to the next verses when he goes down. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him out a liar and his word is not in us. Now if you go back to the very beginning, the word of life was Jesus himself. He says the truth is not in us and his word, that is Jesus himself. But I want you to notice, sometimes we talk about forgiveness. And we have forgiveness. And notice what the forgiveness comes from. If we confess our sins, if we acknowledge them, we have forgiveness and cleansing. There's two ideas. And sometimes we only look at forgiveness and we don't look at the whole story. In Psalms 32, we have one of the great examples, one of the great psalms of all the Bible. And it's one of the psalms of David. And David was one, had a heart for God, a great man of God. But he also had some great blemishes or great sins in his life. David didn't just do the little sins. He had murder and adultery. And listen what he says in chapter 32 of Psalms. He says, I acknowledge my sin to you, verse 5, and did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. There's the forgiveness. But now look over to Psalm 51. In 51 verse 7, he's talking about the same sins. And now listen to what David says. In verse 7 he says, purge me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I'll be whiter than snow. Whiter than snow. Pure white is what he's saying. In other words, not just forgiveness, but cleansing. Too often I think we forget that second half. We think about we're forgiven of our sins, but we still hold that blame. We still think about, you know, this is something I did a year ago, and I'm still paying for it. Where there's maybe consequences for the sin, but there's no blame left to it. Being cleansed from sin means it's been wiped out. It's no longer there. There's no blame. You're whiter than snow means that you're pure, and that's what the words here. It's either translated cleanse from sin or purify from sin. Purify from the unrighteousness. It means it's no longer there. There's no blame attached. In Acts chapter 3, in one of the second gospel sermons we have recorded, Peter has the idea, your sins are blotted out. They're taken out of the book of life. To me, Hebrews 10 is one of the great verses, 10:17, that goes back, actually quotes from Jeremiah. He says, your sins and your lawless acts I will remember no more. When the book of life is open, that sin that you repented of, that you confessed and brought to the Lord, it's no longer in that book of life. So when God opens the book of life, it's no longer there. There's no record of it. There's no blame. That's what it means to be forgiven and cleansed from our sins. And that's what John is saying. When you confess your sins, when you acknowledge it, sometimes I think we have the idea that we acknowledge our sins. We say, well, God, forgive me of my sins. And we just have a generic blanket, forgive me of all my sins. But we don't want to acknowledge the individual sins that we've committed. When he's talking about confessing and acknowledging to God your sins, he means when you go to God in prayer and ask for the sins, you name those sins to God. You don't just say, God, just forgive me for anything I did yesterday. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about when you open your heart to God, God, forgive me for this, what I said to this person, or these thoughts I had over here, or this unrighteousness in my life. Forgive me for that. You acknowledge and you confess. You make it known to God. That's what he's talking about when he's talking about confessing your sins to God. Confess your sins. Acknowledge it. And he is faithful and true and will forgive and cleanse and purify you of all your sins. Now look at the next section. John is not telling us this. It's okay to sin because you're going to be forgiven. Listen to what he says. He's already talked to us about not walking in darkness. My little children. That's a key little part. John uses this term, my little children. Later on, he's going to talk about beloved, and later on, he's talking about children. John wrote this towards the end of his life. He was an older apostle, probably the last one living when he wrote this. And he writes it to the church throughout, and he uses that term, my little children. It's like our grandfather talking to his children. My little children, hear the dearness in his voice. How much John loves us that read in this book. My little children, I'm writing these things that you may not sin, that you'll keep away from the darkness. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He is a propitiation, or the atonement, much easier word to say, for our sins, and not only ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. Atonement for our sins. Christ paid the price for our sins. And he's our advocate. The idea of the counselor before us. If you stand before God and you've got to give an account for everything you've done, whether good or bad, who do you want standing beside you at that last day? Who do you want to be your advocate, your lawyer, the one that's going to counsel, the one that's going to plead your case with the Father? Don't you want it to be Jesus, the righteous one? That's what John is saying. He will be there for you if you're walking in the light, if you acknowledge him. In fact, in Matthew chapter 10, Jesus says, if you acknowledge me before men, I will acknowledge you before my Father. But if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father. 2 Chronicles 7 that we've looked at a couple times over the last month. The Lord says to those who own my name, that are known by my name, these are the ones I will heal. We've got to acknowledge the Lord as being our Lord. And if we acknowledge Him, then He's going to acknowledge us before the Father. This morning, think about your life and if you've acknowledged the Lord as your Lord. If you have, then He's going to stand there before the God the Father on that last great day. In closing, let me leave you with five things to think about. First, if we think of ourselves as Christians, we can allow any sin just to stay in our lives. That's what it means to walk in darkness. To know there's something in our life that's not the way it should be, and we allow it to stay there. That's walking in darkness. He says, if you do that, you're lying. You don't have any fellowship with God if you allow a sin to stay in your life. The second idea that brings out, and we see this throughout this book, is the importance of fellowship, the importance of sharing and having fellowship, both with God the Father, but with each other. Forgiveness of sins, our obedience to God, is always linked in 1 John with how we share and have fellowship one with another, and the importance of that fellowship. If we're walking in the light and have fellowship with God, we have fellowship one with another. In fact, forgiveness always includes the idea of purification or being cleansed from any blame of sin. A Christian does not carry around blame with sin. He's cleansed from it. He's made whiter than snow. That means pure again. Like it was never, ever there to begin with. And the last thought, if we do sin, we have one to stand beside us. To stand beside us before our God. If we've acknowledged Him, He will acknowledge us before the Father. This morning, have you acknowledged the Lord in your life? Is He standing beside you? Are you walking after Him? Or are you walking after the ways of the world? And we'll take more of a look at that as we get through the book of 1 John. This morning, if you've not acknowledged the Lord, there'd never be a better time than this morning to put Him on in baptism, being dead to this world, to rise and walk a new life. Or if you've already started that, but you haven't lived with it, you've allowed darkness to enter your heart. You've allowed yourself to just put on a little bit of the world. If you started walking after the world instead of after Him, why not come back to Him today? If you need to come in any way, won't you come as together we stand and sing.